The following episode of Epic Fail is brought to you by Spoke, a new free listening app from SiriusXM.
The following is an at-will presentation.
You want to hear my story about my epic fuck-up?
I really do.
All right, here it goes. When I first started on Broadway.
Nice shot.
And that time, I did get a black eye.
And he starts shaking, but one by one, the cast has to turn towards me.
And my character yells, strut in a circle. And I got the part.
Hey everyone, Jenna Ashkowitz here, and welcome to the final episode of Epic Fail. Get excited because today is the Epic Fail Awards. Throughout the season, I asked you to vote on your favorite stories, and today we're going to take a look back at the best, or should I say worst, fails from the season. At the end of the episode, we're going to choose the ultimate failure, who will be presented the Epic Fail Award trophy by yours truly in the middle of Times Square. Without further ado, I present the Epic Fail Awards. Our first award category is Most Creative White Room Escape, and with 27% of the votes, Brandon Uranowitz took the win with this epic story from episode one.
In like the theater world, we sort of like nicely refer to it as entering into the white room. I don't know that I would call this a mini stroke so much as like a grand mal seizure. Do you know what I mean? Like, I completely left my body. I think that I had maybe worked out too hard between shows that day and didn't eat enough. So I started the scene and everything was going fine. And because we had been open for over a year, at a certain point, like certain shows just are like in your muscle memory. And I went to say my line and like my mouth didn't say the right words. And then my brain freaked out and I had no idea where I was in time or space. And I just, like, went completely blank. My clothes are, like, soaked through with sweat at this point. My body is going through the motions, but, like, my brain is freaking out, but my body seems to know where to go. And then I go to say another line. It happens again, and I can't get back on track. And this time it happens for, like, a longer period of time. A long enough period of time where I seriously, and I'm not kidding, I very seriously considered pretending to faint. I'm not even kidding. I'm not joking. I seriously considered pretending to faint to, like, stop the show and, like, just pretend that there was, like, something really,
really wrong with
me.
Yeah.
Because
a good excuse.
Because, right, because the excuse that I was just really hungry and, like, tired and over it is, like, not good.
The next award is for most serious injury during a performance, and the results are in. The winner, with 30% of the votes and one of my favorite stories of all time, Miss Kristen Chenoweth.
Peter Pan, non-union, flying by Foy, the people that fly people came in to do it. There's a song Peter Pan calls sings, I'm flying, flying, you all might know it. And Peter Pan flies out over the audience. We were in invited rehearsal where people come to the rehearsal and I fly out over the audience and the French doors open. I step off on the words, I'm, and then flying, the doors open at the exact same time I fly out over the audience. So I'm behind the doors.
With your harness, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm all harnessed up as Peter. I get ready. 5, 6, 7. I step off. Flop. The doors didn't open. I smashed right into the doors. I hung there, I was knocked out. I hung there like kind of Jesus Christ-like. And the doors went, in my mind, it took 4 minutes, probably 10 seconds. And I was hanging there as Peter, hanging, kind of knocked out. I have a stitch scar over here on the where I hit my head, where the doors. And I hear, Mommy, Peter's dead. And I thought, am I? Well, I heard that. I heard that person say that, so maybe I'm not dead.
The next category is Most Epic Audience Mishap. And this one was a close race, but edging ahead with 22% of the votes is the one and only John Stamos.
Yeah, I remember in Cabaret, there's a part in the beginning of the second act where the MC comes out and he's talking to the audience and he grabs a girl and pulls her on stage and dances, then he goes back out and then he grabs a guy, pulls him on stage and dances and grabs his ass. And I was having problems getting the men to come. or they would, you know, you grab their hand and they pull your hand away. And I told the assistant director, and they said, don't look him in the eye. Just say, and now I'm going to find someone to dance, grab his hand, turn your head, and pull.
Mm-hmm.
I did that one night. I'm not making this up. And I grabbed the guy, and I'm pulling, and he won't get up. I'm pulling harder because, you know, taking the note and pulling harder. And the guy yanks me down to whisper in my ear and says, I have no legs. And sure enough, he had a metal thing, and I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do? And I said, well, that's all right. We'll dance right here. And I sort of hugged him and danced in the chair, and he, you know, made whatever. And he was so grateful afterwards for that. But I'm like, you know.
The award for audition failure of the season was another close battle, but in the end, there was a clear winner. Congratulations to our favorite blue man, Greg Balla.
So the illusion is that you're catching dozens of marshmallows. It's amazing to watch. If you don't see this, it's an incredible piece. It's still, the strongest piece in the show. And it's fascinating. When it goes well, it's amazing. They're literally catching balls and cheese from, you know, 20 feet away across a giant stage. And with the marshmallows, it happens one after the other. And they start to get faster and faster. So it's like, voom, 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 voom. And you just have to catch. And normally, now it's very easy for me to do this. It's a great skill at parties, but it doesn't really translate anywhere else in life. But so I'm getting, you know, one after the other. But so we're in the training room. This is like day two. I catch three or four pieces of marshmallows, and I'm like, oh. And he's like, nope, more. And he's throwing them at me, and they're bouncing off my face. And I catch maybe 10 or 12. And finally, I'm just like, oh. And I cough up this giant hunk of cream cheese, which just goes like, and just sticks right on the floor. And I'm standing there, all like hands over the knees, kind of spitting and drooling and tearing. And he's like, good.
I wanted to take a few moments to tell you about Spoke, a new listening app from SiriusXM and a partner of Epic Fail. Spoke is more than just a podcast app. It's a social audio platform. You can listen to podcasts, radio programs, documentaries, and more. Have you ever had a difficult time finding a podcast? Well, Spoke has a team of curators, real live humans, not robots, who help you discover your new favorite podcast or show by finding the best moments and highlights and organizing them into thematic playlists. For me, there are so many podcasts that I want to listen to, but it's so overwhelming to start listening to each of them because I have no idea what I'm going to like or what's good. So this is like a friend sharing their playlist with you, allowing you to listen to the best clips from each song. If you like what you hear, you can join the conversation and leave a voice comment. You can also share anything you find on the app with friends or on social media. That's right, hit me on the gram. You can download Spoke from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Go to hearspoke.com/atwill to support Epic Fail or your favorite shows on the At Will Network. Okay, guys, this is coming from someone who has attended a ton of weddings this year. Between all of my friends who've just gotten married and engaged, I have heard some horror stories. I think if you're going to do it, registering should be an enjoyable moment in your planning. Well, Zola is reinventing the whole wedding registry and wedding planning process to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier. Their registry is everything you love about your favorite department store and so much more. They carry everything you could ever want in their online store. And listen, if there's a $600 stand mixer, you and all your friends can go in on that together because they have group gifting, which lets multiple guests contribute to the dream gift. Zola is offering a special treat to our listeners, so go to zola.com/epic, E-P-I-C. Use Zola as your registry, and they'll gift you $50 towards anything you want in their store. And they carry everything. Again, it's zola.com/epic. So if there's one thing that I don't want to fail at, it's taking care of my dog, Bear. Now, listen, I always feed him and I take care of him. But sometimes life happens and I forget to buy him new toys, new treats, things that keep things exciting. And when I get packages at home, he always thinks they're for him. But every once in a while, there is one that is for him, and it is called a bark box. Honestly, he is so happy with this box. It does the work for you. They find a amazing toys from small local businesses that you would not otherwise be able to find. Honestly, there's amazing new treats. He is happy. I am happy. So for a free extra month of BarkBox, visit BarkBox.com/epic when you subscribe to a 6 or 12 month plan. You guys, Scouts honor. If your dog doesn't like it, if Bear doesn't like something, they will send you something that he does, because it's all about the dog's happiness. It's all about Bear's happiness. BarkBox all the way. Episode 5 was all about breaking character during a performance, and you listeners had a definite favorite in this category. With 65% of the votes, the Uncontrollable Giggle Award goes to Kerry St. Louis.
I mean, one night, so there's this moment right before One Short Day where we go to the Emerald City together, and it's sort of ad-libbed. There's an ad-lib moment where she's like, come with me. And then they sing One Short Day, and I'm like, I've always wanted to come. But there's time where we're like either hugging or excited or talking. And I, for some reason, got nervous that my mic was still on. So I was afraid that my ad-lib was going to be heard.
God forbid.
So instead of just not ad-libbing or just ad-libbing, I sort of did this weird where I tried to say, I can come. And instead I went, because I stopped myself from fully speaking. This sounds so weird. I'm so weird. But I was like, come. And it came out, and I was like, oh my God, that was so weird. And of course, Rachel was like, this is the moment. And she looked right back at me and went, you can come. And we both, I mean, it was like, we have a quick change, and we were hunched over, and our dressers were like, you guys, seriously, like, this is a 5 second change. And we were just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And so we came back on stage, and like, I couldn't look at her. So
that's
all the things we were doing,
recover.
I was just sort of like, we're just two friends. Like, not, don't laugh. Don't make me laugh. I'm so fragile.
This next award is for most awkward moment during a performance, a personal favorite category of mine. The winner with 31% of the votes, Mr. Josh Sharp.
We were going to do this event. We didn't know much about it, but I guess it was like sort of like a plug-and-play thing that they were doing promotionally all across the country, where they would just go to colleges and basically had a format where they would like pick a student ambassador, pay him some money to organize an event, and the event was local comedian does 15 minutes, then we do an advanced screening of We Are Marshall. The idea of We Are Marshall is that they all die in a plane crash. There was a plane crash, and 75 of this college's Marshall's football players died. And so a new coach comes on to, like, rebuild and everything. So it was like a feel-good sports story.
Okay.
So before that, they wanted a comedian, right? So they asked me and my buddy CeCe to do something. We're like, this is great. We'll, like, write a two-man act. We thought we'd write this, like, super absurd, hammy, like, thing. And we show up. It's in a movie theater. It's all football players who've arrived because they want to see the show. And also because it's in a movie theater and no one sat in front, there's like a physical barrier between us and the audience. There's like 6 empty rows.
Terrible.
And we opened with a joke that, well, I'll just give it to you and then we'll see how it was maybe ill-suited as a starter, where we were like, hi, we aren't Marshall, but we are CeCe and Josh, and we're happy to be here opening for We Are Marshall, or as we like to call it, Remember the Titans 2. This time they're all dead at the beginning. And it was like silence, and then two different football players went too far. One said too far, and the other said, yeah, too far, dog. And then we just did 15 minutes, and we stuck with it. And it was like such a terrible, like, you came from, you know, like, you thought you were good and you had a big audience that liked you, and then you showed up somewhere else and we're like, we're good at this. And it's like, no, you're not. And also, like, read your room, you know?
Read your room. Know your reader.
But we got paid $50 each and a bunch of Crest White strips.
In episode 7, we brought you stories about major fuck-ups during a performance, and the winner for this category was a bit of a landslide. With 73% of the votes, the award for funniest flub goes to the talented Jesse Mueller.
There was always a slight fear in my mind that if I touched anyone else's prop, I would ruin the entire show. Like, if I move this fork, I don't know what could happen.
It is quite true, and it sounds so minuscule, but, like, a fork could really
shift. Right, it sounds very dramatic,
shift.
But it really could shift the tectonic plates of the show. Everything could go downhill.
Did you ever really have, like, a big one like that?
Well, the day that I There's a moment where there's a baking table that was on automation tracking at that point. So it moves by itself. But there was a glass bowl on the table with, at that point, flour, like a big glass Pyrex bowl full of flour. And then the actor playing the character of the doctor is supposed to sort of look like he's pushing the table, but it's the automation. Something was funky, or the automation. It was either where I put the bowl that day or the automation was a little, like there was a jolt to it. Well, that bowl went flying off the table, smashed.
No.
Into a bunch of pieces, and we had to track off. I don't know, it was very strange, and I was trying to figure out what was happening as we were leaving the stage, and that's right as everyone is coming on for this big wedding scene.
Oh, no.
So there's broken glass all over the stage, and I'm supposed to run to a quick change, and all I'm trying to do is find someone being like, glass, there's glass. I think I just said glass a lot. Glass, 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 glass on stage. Broken. Problem. Rag. Need rag. It was like all broken English. And everyone's looking at me like, what? What? And I was like, we have to stop. We have to stop. I was very concerned about people's feet. I mean, it's not like it was barefoot. So we did finally, I think, we stopped for just a second.
Really?
And I think everyone in the wedding, like Chris Fitzgerald, and he just kind of, in his wonderful way, he's like sort of half stand character and like moved out of the way to let the person, like Chris Pantuso, come in and like wipe it up with a rag.
Now, it's time for the moment you have all been waiting for, the award for the ultimate failure. The winner, who completely bamboozled me with his story, is Kevin McHale.
Here's what happened. I get a call from my manager saying, I know you've never done theater, but I have an audition for you for this play. It's supposed to be good. Like, there's great people working on it. This could be really fun for you, even though you don't have an interest in doing theater. And I was distracted. I was in a boy band at the time.
NLT.
And the show was called Spring Awakening.
I don't know this story, by the way.
I have hid this from you.
I'm getting bamboozled right now.
Because I am so embarrassed about this.
What?
Because obviously, like, I got on Glee with all you Spring Awakening people, and I was like, I can never tell anybody this because this was the most embarrassing moment of my entire life.
I'm feeling very bamboozled
at the moment.
I think
I, like, drunkenly mentioned it to you once.
Okay, well, I don't
but
remember
I definitely
that.
Did not tell you the details.
Okay.
My, like, biggest secret is that I ruined my audition for Spring Awakening.
I didn't know you went in for this. You are bamboozling me right now. Okay, keep going.
So,
wow.
I go and I buy the play. I read it. And it's like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't understand any of this.
Read again.
Very hard for me. Anyway, I read the entire thing, which doesn't even help me because I'm like, I don't know how to audition for theater. They're like, you're going to sing a song.
You can. Were you in L.A.? Like, did you have to put on tape?
I was in L.A. No, and they were seeing people in person in L.A. And I'm feeling very unprepared. They're like, pick a song you have to sing. And I hated singing auditions in the first place because when I have terrible nerves and you're nervous and your voice just sounds crazy and can tighten up and get shaky and it's awful.
Don't we all?
I show up and I'm sitting in the waiting room and there was like one other person before me. They bring me in. There were like four old white people, very intimidating, like very serious theater people. Mm-hmm. I go in, there's a guy at a piano. And I'm like, oh, I've already screwed up. Like, why is there a piano here?
No.
They're like, do you have sheet music? And I was like, I was just gonna sing something a cappella. Oh. Like, okay, that was like strike one for them.
Sure.
I could see the life leave their eyes. Like, what are you gonna sing? I did exactly what you're not supposed to do, Jenna.
What did you do?
What is the worst song you could possibly sing in an audition?
Happy Birthday.
No, I sang Bohemian Rhapsody.
No! Kevin.
Like, let me just choose the hardest song ever.
You did not choose Bohemian Rhapsody. You read the play. Did you think that song was appropriate for
it? I was just trying to, like, show my voice. I didn't know what was appropriate for the show. I didn't know what type of music they were going to do. I had no idea.
Not know this.
I was like 18 at the time. Like, I had no clue what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I'm
okay,
sweating.
So you sang Bohemian Rhapsody. How did it go?
Not well.
Not well.
So
did you sing the whole thing? Did you sing a cut?
No, I was waiting. I just stopped at some point, and they look at me and they're like, do you have anything else?
Oh, my God.
Do you have anything we can do with piano? Do you know some songs that the pianist might know. And the pianist is like, starts naming songs. I'm like, I don't know any of those songs. Mm-hmm. Like, they're probably theater songs. I'm like, well, I know some Beatles stuff. And like, okay. And he starts naming Beatles songs, and I realize that I really didn't know that many Beatles songs. And so we sort of like strung together a couple lines of some song. I don't even remember what it was, but obviously it was not good because I was just like freaking out. And then they asked me to do Bohemian Rhapsody again with the pianist to like try it out.
They clearly were somehow interested, though, even though you, as badly as you said it went, because they keep asking you to do things.
Well, see, in my head, that's not how I was looking at it. I was like, oh, my God, they're just screwing with me now because I can't do anything, and I'm so unprepared that they're just like, this kid is clueless. Like, why is he here? Like, okay, let's do the scene now. It was like that.
It's okay.
And then Spring Awakening came out.
And you were like, oh.
And did so well. And, like, all my friends were talking about it because it was, like, about teens and people our age, and it was cool. And I probably normally would have loved it but blocked it out because I was
I can't
so
believe
horrified.
That I didn't know about this. Well, that's all for Epic Fail. I want to thank everyone who voted on their favorite fails throughout the season, and a major thank you to all of my guests for sharing their incredible stories with me. Don't forget to follow at AdWheel Radio and at Jenna Ushkowitz to stay updated with all the latest. And if you enjoyed this season of Epic Fail, please be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spoke, or whichever podcast app you use. Bye for now.
You can even move this.
Oh.
My God. There we go. I wish I had that on video. I'm so sorry for that epic fail.
Oh, God. I just got whooped on the face. Okay. Thanks again to our partner, Spoke, SiriusXM's new app that allows you to listen to podcasts, radio programs, and documentaries curated for you. Go to hearspoke.com/atwill now.